Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 26. I hope you're having a great start to your week. Happy Monday. Guys, let's jump right into it. Today I have on Michael Unks, the author of 1 Month Willpower, a simple system for life-changing transformation, which shows others how they too can live an incredible, fulfilling life and reach their potential. He also wanted to give back to his country, so all the proceeds from that book have gone to the Wounded Warrior Project. Since then, he's written a bunch of other books, including his most recent that actually just came out on February 11th, and it's called The Gym Life, 32 Ways to Max Out Professionally, Personally, and Spiritually. Michael is a pharmacist by trade, and he's living out his dream to become a motivational speaker one day. We touch on some really powerful topics in this episode, and the conversation, personally for me, was just very moving, and I am so excited to present now to you guys, Michael Unks. Hey, Michael, what's up, man?
How's it going, Tom?
I'm good.
Thanks for having
me. Absolutely. Welcome to The Positivity Effect.
Well, thank you, sir.
So, yeah, before we jumped on, you know, I kind of gave a little backstory about who you are, and, you know, I kind of mentioned that you made this big transition recently. Not kind of a mental shift. You know, you're a pharmacist and you've been training to be a pharmacist and that's what you do on a daily basis. But, you know, right now, this is what I really want to jump into immediately. Like right now, your number one goal, and it I'm sure it keeps you up at night, you lose sleep over it, is you want to be a motivational speaker and you want to, that's your way of contributing and giving back to the world. So, you know, let's talk about that, and let's talk about, you know, what took you to get to there mentally, and, you know, what happened, what are some things that happened in your life that caused you want to be a motivational speaker?
Well, it was all the changes I made in my life recently that were just so radical, and I spent most of my life just very unhappy, very miserable, and focusing on all the wrong things. I mean, I started out growing up, I was a heavy kid and got teased about it, and then I decided to lose all this weight. And then I started to get made fun of because of the way I talked. I kind of mumbled. I was shy, had no confidence. And then I decided, well, I'll get this degree and I'll start making a ton of money and then I'll start feeling good. And I mean, it just kept going on and on. And I said, well, now I need to get a trophy wife or this amazing looking girlfriend and that'll show everybody. So it was all trying to prove people wrong, show that I'm worthy. And I just realized it really wasn't getting me anywhere. I mean, I started to accomplish my goals. I was in peak shape. I was in the top of my class in graduate school. You know, I had girlfriends. I was getting all the things that I thought I wanted, but I was still miserable, still depressed, still unhappy. And I realized that, you know, I was just waiting for approval from everybody, and I honestly just needed to learn to give it to myself. And just,
when was that moment? When did you start to say, you know what? I'm giving myself approval, and you didn't have to start listening to these other voices.
It was when I spent some time with my teacher in pharmacy school in my last year, where he started teaching me all these things he learned from Zig Ziglar, and he gave me one of his CDs, and I started listening to it. And I think where it all changed was where he talked about all these signs of having a negative self-image, and I was listening, and it sounded like I had every single one of them. And shortly after the next tape, it mentioned all the things you can do to change that. And basically just, you know, giving yourself compliments, allowing yourself to feel good in the moment was one of them. And I remember doing it the following day. And I remember that day like no other. It was just a euphoric rush that came over me. And I honestly felt at the moment like this is what I was working hard, so hard to get. All my accomplishment was to feel what I was feeling right now. And it was such an empowering feeling to know that I could give it to myself in the moment. But that doesn't mean I didn't want to still strive to become a better person, but it realized I don't have to delay that happiness anymore. I can give it to myself right now and continue to just grow and become a better person too.
So would you say like mentally you started to kind of like lift a fog, like there was some clarity that you started to experience in your mind and it gave you more mental space to really see the world kind of in a different lens.
Absolutely. I started questioning everything. I told myself all my limitations I had, and then I said, well, maybe this isn't true. I mean, maybe I've had one reference to tell me this thing that I believe, but maybe it's a lie. For example, with communicating, talking with people, everyone would tell me I'm such a quiet guy and I'm shy. And I decided, well, you know, maybe I'm shy because I just don't talk. Maybe I don't get out there and practice. And then I just started, I set a goal of talking to 5 new people a day. And I realized that I was so afraid to start conversations and talk with people. But after doing it, facing my fear, I realized I had nothing to be afraid of. And now, given my job and what I do, I can talk to 50, 100 people a day and I don't give it much thought. It's because I continue to practice and, you know, change that belief I have about myself that, you know, I'm not shy, I'm not quiet, I'm now confident. And that's just a shift in your belief that you can give in the moment right now. You don't have to delay it.
And, you know, would you say, like, even though, you know, the pharmacy is kind of, it's part of who you are, but also, like, it's a different part of who you are, but you can still say that communicating with people and on a daily basis and, you know, when somebody comes in for a prescription, somebody needs help, like, those conversations are actually, or they have been actually building this skill as well, of what you're looking to do. It's really, you're getting so many different conversations. You know, it's almost like a way you look at it. You know, one person can go to work and be like, why am I here right now? But, or they could switch that shift in their head and say, you know what, I'm going to be able to, every hour I'm here, I'm continually growing and building my craft and my skill.
I absolutely look at it like that. And I love the time constraint I have, because sometimes I just have a minute with somebody. But, you know, I remember an example I came up recently with new diabetics. They tend to come up and they're all afraid and they don't know what to do. They feel like their life is over. And I'll tell them something like this. I'm like, look, you can still be a Ferrari, all right? I'm looking at you like you're a sports car. But what's happened is that your gas tank doesn't have a lid on the top. So what we need to do is make sure you're checking your sugar so it doesn't spill over. If it spills over, it gets into your blood vessels, gets into all throughout your body and can cause a lot of problems. But as long as you're checking your sugar, make sure you have enough in the tank and not overflowing, you can still function like a sports car. You can still run marathons. You can do all these things. It's just, you know, your gas gauge is out. So you just need to check your sugar, just like you check your gas.
You know, and that's powerful too, because I can hear it like in your voice. Like when you have that confidence, I would probably go as far to say too, like, hearing how you're interacting with the people that are coming into the pharmacy, like, it's almost like you're building up like a community of people that enjoy coming to you when they need, like, people that are regulars too, that maybe they have a medication they have on a monthly basis. They're coming to you and, like, they respect this professional advice you have. And this has all been because you've been building these skills of confidence and being able to communicate on a much better and much deeper level with people.
Yeah, and the times I've told that talk, because I've done that several times because it seemed to be very effective, but I just love, they go from a terrified look, and then, you know, shortly after I tell them that, they have a big smile on their face and they start to tear up a little bit and they shake their hand and say, well, thank you so much. And I get emotional over it every time.
It's powerful, man. Yeah, it's really powerful. You know, like, so thinking about your story and, like, somebody that they're nowhere where you are mentally, you know, what were some things, like, when you were really in those dark spaces where, you know, if you were struggling with what other people were saying about you, what were some things that you started to do that kind of helped you shift helped you shift yourself mentally, that to kind of start taking these steps? Because really, it's such a process, you know, almost like coming out of, like, the phoenix coming out of the fire, you know, reborn. It takes time. It's a process, you know?
Yeah. Well, one quote I came across by Eleanor Roosevelt really changed my life. And it was, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And I just remember hearing that for the first time and just really deeply thinking about it. I was like, that's absolutely right. Everyone can say I'm a loser, I'm worthless, but I decide if I'm going to make me feel bad about it. And as long as I just, I'm true to who I am and I love what I'm doing, I'm focusing on the right things and trying to serve other people, why in the world would I want to feel bad about myself? As long as I'm doing the right thing, it doesn't matter the criticism, the things that other people say. As long as I love what I'm doing, then that's enough.
And then, like, what would you say, like, in reflecting that you've learned yourself, like, once you were able to disconnect yourself from what other people what other people's opinions are, you know, or just these stupid little comments that people say, what were you able to recognize, like, you know, where it's really coming from? When somebody goes and they say something, when they're trying to, like, they're looking to belittle somebody, you know, they're actually really just projecting their own fears. They're projecting their own insecurities, you know, and most likely they have something that they're struggling with too. And it's just like, that's their way of projecting it. You know, you start to see these things when you're seeing it clearly.
Yeah, I know. Once I accepted myself unconditionally and loved everything, even faults and all, I realized in the past I judge people. I mean, I would never be the person that would say it to them verbally. I always kept it in. I would look at somebody like, oh, well, you know, he's a C student, he's a slacker, or, you know, I make so much more money than him, I'm in better shape than this person. And then once I realized I was just happy with who I was, I stopped doing that. And I looked at people, I just started looking to see what I liked about them. And I would tend to give them a break. Well, I'm like, you know, I don't know what's going on with them. There's a reason why they're in that situation now, and I'm not going to judge them. So once I stopped judging other people, I stopped doing it for myself. And that's what I realized, that whenever somebody says something hurtful, it's absolutely nothing to do with the person, it's the individual. There's something going on, and I'm just going to respect that. Maybe they haven't looked inside themselves to address it, but, you know, I can't let that affect me, and neither can anyone else.
Anyone else. Yeah, it's so true. And hey, Mike, like, Michael, did you feel that, like, do you see now, like, as you've kind of become like an authority, you know, in the space? And we're going to talk about tomorrow, actually, when you come back on, we're going to talk about, you know, the books that you've written, and, you know, you're now going forward and sharing your message and presenting this to other people. You know, have you found that people are like, it's almost, after you're able to get through everything that you've been struggling with, and now you're providing service, like, people just start to come to you for advice. And it's like, it's like out of the woodworks. Like, you never reckon how many people around you really are struggling with things, and they start to look to you, and they see you as an authority figure. And, you know, and it's like, it's a humbling experience when people reach out to you.
Definitely. It's given my life a lot more purpose. And I routinely get emails from people all around the world that are asking for my advice. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and there's people I know that are, I mean, really anything, but it's a lot with the confidence in themselves to go for it. When they'll tell me, like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about applying for grad school, but I don't think I'm going to make it. And then I'll be encouraging, and I'll give them facts, you know, because now I'm focused on what I like about people, the potential I see in them. And it's very easy for me to just pick everything, all the great qualities I see in people that they don't necessarily see in themselves. And a lot of times all it takes is one person to see the greatness in you to bring out the greatness in themselves.
And, you know, somebody listening may be, you know, they may be not in school, they may be older, they may be still in college, you know, thinking about what they're looking to do, or maybe they're on a path, and then maybe they just stumbled across this interview and they're hearing your story and how you've transformed your life and you're looking to be a motivational speaker. And, you know, how important too is it for them to recognize that they shouldn't just like just stop and quit, you know, what they're doing? Like, they should continually work through it. And, you know, if, you know, even if it's not one, like 99.9% of their path, like, it's still part of their journey. And, you know, just, we're not just saying, like, guys, you know, quit college tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. Well, I look at it like this card game war, like an ace. The ace is the best thing you could do. Now, honestly, no matter what, you should always believe that you're an ace in your heart. But when you're first getting started with something, or you feel like you don't have direction, maybe you're like a face card of a 2 or a 3. But the thing is, you spend your whole entire life just building to project the ace on the outside, but you always have that on the inside. And you come up with challenges that maybe are like a 4 or 5. And then at the moment, maybe you can't win that battle. But I mean, the people that are happiest and most fulfilled are those that are growing and trying to improve themselves each and every day. So it's not, don't make it a competition, but just decide what you want and just go after it. And the thing is, I think a lot of people are just so afraid of failure and criticism, but you really can't avoid them. And to be honest, I find that failure is really great. I've learned so much from my failures. I've probably failed more in the past year than I have my whole life, because I'm putting myself out there and taking action. But I'm using that failure to my advantage, to use it to set myself up for success in the future.
And that failure is sweet, man, right? It's like the most fulfilling thing, because it opens your eyes to really what you're meant to do. You know, it keeps leading you down the right path.
It does, yeah. When I first started speaking out in public, I was a little unpolished. I mean, I'm still working on it now, but I think we're so afraid to go after these things and feel like it's going to be the end of the world. But after the moment's over and it passes and you bomb, you can look at yourself like, hey, I'm still here. Look at this. Like, it didn't kill me. And what doesn't kill you makes you stronger is what we hear.
I think that's a great segue right now, because I'm sure there's people listening that are like, I do not, maybe I don't like talking to people. I just, the thought of it literally gives me fear and I sweat. Let's talk about that first experience. Like, what happened? You know, did you get booed off the stage? Like, how did it go down, man? Like, people got to hear this.
It actually has gone well so far.
That's amazing. That's
awesome. It's because of what I'm focusing on. Because when I first got it started, I've asked several people at my school, at local community centers, hey, you know, I just love to talk about my story. You know, I feel like it can inspire some people. And a lot of times I was hearing, well, you know, I'll see what we can do. We'll try to pencil you in. So I was really getting a lot of no's. But the first yes I got, all I was thinking before I went up there, I was just like, I'm just so grateful for this opportunity. Like, I wanted this so bad. And, you know, I really don't care how it goes. It's, you know, I'm just so grateful to even be up here that they let me come talk. So I was just filled with gratitude. And that just wiped away a lot of my fear. And then while I was up there, I was just like, you know, I'm going to speak from the heart and just, you know, what I love, I know I can make a difference. And again, it was just focusing on my audience and not on myself. I wasn't looking to get anything from it. I was just looking to purely give.
That's so true. See, guys, like, whatever you're looking to step out and do in life, whatever it is, it could be starting a new fitness journey. It could be stepping on stage like Michael and trying to share your story. If we paralyze ourselves and think about what other people are thinking, I mean, they're thinking the same. They want to do something also. They're also that they're just like us. They're looking for ways to progress and build their lives as well. And when people rally around, like what Michael just, that story that you just shared, you know, people rally around people that are authentic, people that are able to express that they're grateful in the moment for what has been offered to them. And they're sharing their story. They're sharing really who they are. You can know in a snap second when somebody gets on stage if they're not authentic, you know, you know right away if they're just up there, you know, with ulterior motives.
Right. But I mean, having this attitude of gratitude and focusing on giving allows you to face your fears and take so much action. Now, I've noticed that in my whole life, I've always been awkward around girls, couldn't talk to them. I'd always have my friends kind of try to set me up. And now I just go up to a woman that I'm interested in, and all I'm focusing on is what I can provide for her. It's not necessarily, I mean, I do focus on what she can give me, but the top priority is how can I make her life better? What do I have to offer her? And I've been amazed how I've been able to just go up to people that, you know, maybe 2 years ago I'd say, you know, she's out of my league. What am I even doing talking to her? But now I'm able to walk up there with confidence and, you know, just to ask for what I want. So you can do it with dating. You could do it with speaking. You could do it with anything you want to do in your life, a job interview. As long as you're focusing on what you can give them instead of what they can give you, it can wipe away a lot of your fears.
It's so powerful because it's so true. You know, I think of one of my favorite speakers too. I think of Eric Thomas, and you know, he shares this powerful story often about when his wife stuck with him through everything, when he was literally like eating out of trash cans, he had nothing. And she always wanted to go to Hawaii, and you know, they took little weekend trips here and there, but you know, he never was yet successful enough financially to really serve her that way. So all he did in the meantime was continually served her, you know, doing the dishes, ironing her clothes, doing her laundry, whatever it meant in terms of in his life and their, you know, their circle of life, whatever it meant for serving her, that's what he would do. Even if he couldn't financially take her on these big trips, which, you know, we often think about these big little, you know, monumental things throughout life that come and go very quickly, but we always forget about the little things in between. And he shared, and he talked about how finally, you know, he was able to take her to Hawaii, and it was just like this most amazing experience for her to finally give that to her. You know, even though he was been serving her his whole life, but also finally give that to her, and just say, listen, you know, you're getting a return on your investment. And that was like such a powerful thing. Like, she invested in him, believed in him, and he's like, listen, you're getting a return on your investment. And I think it's so true, man. We have to look for ways to serve people, not take from them.
Right. And I love the ambition he had of wanting to take her to Hawaii when he didn't have it in that present moment. Because honestly, there's people close to me, friends and family. I'll ask them, who would you like to meet? Or where would you like to go if you can go anywhere? And I've been kind of logging these down to like have their bucket list kind of in the back of my mind. As long as I keep working and focus on giving, I feel down the road I'll be able to surprise them with some amazing things. As long as if I keep believing in myself and keep focusing on the right things. And it definitely drives me when I'm focusing on making other dreams come true from others instead of just my own.
And would you say like everything that you try to do in life, you're a young guy, I'm a young guy, like, even though we're young, like it's just about continually striving forward, right? You're never gonna, even when we're older and we're in our 50s, we're in our 60s, who knows, God willing, we're in our 80s, our 90s, 100, it's never a static moment. You should always be striving. And I hope that's what our generation strives to do and shows the generations after us that even, right, it's not like let's focus on life and find our way to just get to retirement, That should never be our goal, as to how to get to retirement. It should be, how can we continually, day in and day out, provide value to the world? And I think I'm really looking forward, Michael, to see what the force that you're going to be in the world and how you're going to be changing lives on the stage and standing next to people like Tony Robbins and having your name next to people like Zig Ziglar. It's really powerful, man. And just keep, I can't wait to see, what you're going to do.
Well, thank you, sir. And I'm glad you brought that up, because my grandfather has told me stories of how he worked for a job for 40 years and he absolutely hated it, but he wanted to set himself up for retirement. And he does have a lot of money and all these things, but when he told me this story, I just thought he spent 40 years, avoiding things he could be loving, something that he was passionate about, something that he could provide the world that's even at a greater capacity than what he was doing. And that's exactly it. As long as you just focus each and every day on what you love and how to grow and give more, that you won't need those breaks. I mean, it's nice to take a vacation here and there, but you don't need a retirement. You can keep going until the final bell whistles or goes off at the end of your life.
Yeah, if you have to take a vacation from what you do for work, then you probably have to find something new to work.
That's absolutely right. And I remember hearing something about the guy that the owner of Virgin Mobile,
Richard Branson.
Yeah, he talked about how the goal should be not to look at work and play separate, is to combine the two for it to become simply living. And ever since I heard that, I'm like, that's absolutely right. Everything is just life.
It's so true. Yeah, and like I think of my own life and just my parents in a generation. We think of the generation before us, and I think that's what they always strive to do. You look to make, your kids, the life of your kids better, and it's for us, it's being thankful to be given these opportunities and everything by, the people that came before us. But now we'll just continually improve upon it and make it even better for the people that come to be, after us. So, so powerful, man. So Mike, we're going to kick it off here. Guys, we're going to have Michael on again tomorrow. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to talk actually a lot. We're going to talk about his first book, and he's got a second book out now. And, it's going to be awesome. We're going to share a little bit about his experience as an author and how that's opened his doors. Maybe, if you're listening and you've been thinking about writing a book, you might get some good tips. So, Michael, thanks so much, man. Looking forward to speaking to you tomorrow.
Thank you so much for having me, Tom. I'm looking forward to it, too.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com, sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.